Long ago, in a cave beside a fire, a family of early humans were eating roasted insects. Suddenly, one sibling gave a gift to another. It was the first gift ever given, and a moment of more love and kindness than the world had known. A magical bang happened, and in that moment, Father Christmas was born. At first, Father Christmas was small and light. He followed the brightest star to the North Pole, where he discovered two star jumps west, a magical window just his size. He opened it, and inside found Betwixtmas, a mystical land on the top of the world, where the spin is so tight and quick that time ticks differently, and a whole year squeezes down into just 1 week. Father Christmas knew Betwixtmas was his home. It was around this time, although no one is certain what time that was, that Father Christmas caught his first cold. However, every Christmas misfortune is tied up with a gift, and with Father Christmas first, achoo, he created the first snooflets. Snooflets are tiny creatures who love the magic of giving, and who can capture that magic and store it as a star. With every sneeze, Father Christmas created more snooflets. Before long, snooflets started travelling together in snoofleets, looking for magic to make into stars. As many Christmases passed and more humans shared love and kindness, the sky became full of stars. Father Christmas changed his form. He became what most humans believe him to be, a wise, kind, jolly old soul who always wears red and never leaves behind a footprint. At the heart of Betwixtmas, Father Christmas started building his first workshop, a special place where the magic stored in stars can be collected and used. He asked three spirits to be in charge of it. They decided to name this workshop Coff. That's short for the Centre of Festive Feelings.
Long ago, there was a child who had never felt festive cheer. He had never hung Christmas decorations. He had never had Christmas dinner with his loved ones. He had never received a Christmas present. For him, Christmas had always been lonely, dark, cold, and unhappy. When the boy grew up, he became mayor of a town, and as mayor, he decided that Christmas would be banned. In the town, no Christmas decorations were allowed to be hung up. No Christmas dinners were allowed to be cooked and shared. No Christmas presents were allowed to be given. No one was even allowed to say a festive greeting or to sing a joyful song. At first, the people of the town were furious, and some continued trying to celebrate Christmas in secret. But as time went by, and the ban continued, the people started to forget all about Christmas and what it had once been. Instead, the winter months became lonely, dark, cold, and unhappy. The town became so unfestive that it disappeared from Father Christmas's maps, and Father Christmas stopped visiting. However, one tiny piece of Christmas still existed. In an attic, in a box, was an old picture that a child had drawn long ago. One day, a girl happened to find it. The picture showed decorations, fir trees, puddings, roasted vegetables, people singing, laughing and wrapping up presents. It also had a word, although part of it was torn off. "Chris," the girl read.
Today, Tim became a big brother. A big brother to a little sister. Next week is Christmas. Tim's little sister's first Christmas. Tim feels excited. Excited to share festive cheer, because we get one first Christmas, and Christmas comes only once a year. "We must have the smell of mince pies," said Timmy. "And decorations on the tree and under the branches, a present for baby. She's now part of our family. She must join us for Christmas dinner and get a festive kiss from Granny and Grandpa and hear every Christmas song at least twice and know Santa loves children being kind and nice." Christmas Day soon arrived, and even though Tim's little sister was still small, Tim did everything that felt exciting to make his sister's first Christmas a ball.
I tried making a card for Mummy. I attempted to bake cakes. I searched every shop for the perfect gift. I wrote a rhyme with plenty of spelling mistakes. It's already Christmas Eve, but still I have no gift for Mummy that's right. "I'm sorry," I tell Mummy. And my Mummy asks me, "Why?" "I love you very much," I say. "I love you more than this." I stretch my arms out as far as they'll reach. Mummy tells me, "Your love is the greatest gift."
Many Christmases ago, there was magic. Only magic, but magic alone made chaos. The spirits of the North Pole saw this, and to fix things they called on Hope. But Hope and magic were not a match. Hope spent too long wishing, and magic made mischief of Hope. The spirits called on Greed, but Greed and magic together were worse. Greed used magic until only Greed was left. The spirits called on Dreams, but Dreams and magic did nothing but daydream. The spirits did not know what to do next, until one night, when magic swiped the moon and the stars, an elf got lost in the darkness while trying to find her way back to the workshop. The spirits asked the elf how she would find her way home.
The elf replied that her friends would soon light a candle to guide her. The spirits asked how she was so sure. The elf replied that her friends were loving, and if they were lost, she would do the same for them. The spirits then asked the elf what she would pair with magic, and the elf replied, "Love, of course, because love always finds its way through the darkness." There, in the night, the elf spotted the light of the candle and she found her way back to her friend and the workshop, and the spirits called on love, and love and magic were the right match.
The shops had been packed, the presents were now wrapped, the mince pies were cooking, the fairy lights glowing. But the McMitten family still did not feel Christmassy. The McMitten family decided to watch TV. The McMitten family shook their presents to guess what they'd be. The McMitten family ate all the sweets and mince pies, but still, the McMitten family did not feel Christmassy. Mummy McMitten suddenly had a memory. "We used to tell each other jokes when I was very young."
"We have Christmas crackers for that now," said Daddy McMitten.
"Darling, it's not quite as fun." None of the McMittens were that keen, but each thought of a joke. The middle McMitten went first. "What is the name of Santa's dog?" "Santa Paws." Daddy McMitten's turn was next.
"What do snowmen eat for breakfast?" "Ice Krispies."
Mummy McMitten shared a joke that her mother used to tell. "How did Scrooge win the football game?" "The ghost of Christmas past." Then the eldest and the youngest McMittens took turns. "What do you get when you cross a snowman with a vampire?" "Frostbite."
"What do you get when you combine a Christmas tree with an iPad?" "A pineapple."
The McMittens found themselves laughing and feeling very warm and fuzzy inside. They were sharing each other's company, making memories to last a long time. The McMittens went to bed feeling Christmassy, and on Christmas morning, they all agreed to share more jokes before opening their presents, and only after Daddy McMitten had his bowl of Ice Krispies.
Thank you.
snow had fallen. In the garden, the children spent hours building a snowman.
He needs eyes, potatoes, ears.
Ears?
So that he can hear, or else how will he hear Santa's sleigh?
Tomatoes, one, two.
What about a nose?
A carrot?
A Brussels sprout?
Both.
A mouth?
Mushrooms.
A broccoli for a hat?
A leek for a tie?
Mini munch for fingers.
Not long until dinner, Daddy called out. Tonight it was Daddy's turn to be chef.
Now where are all my ingredients?
Daddy asked.
In the fridge there were no vegetables left. Is everything okay?
Auntie asked Daddy. Auntie and Daddy looked outside and there the snowman was wearing tonight's dinner.
I think that snowman's going to be wearing our veggies for a while.
My name is Love and Magic, or you can call me L&M for short. My motto in life is that anything is possible. So if you just have a little bit of magic from the universe and a splash of love from your heart, then you can be anything you imagine. Now, it all started way back at the beginning, when Santa was just a small little boy. Now he wished and he wished for a reindeer to call his own. So he would fly high up in the sky. But it took until his 8th birthday, where he was stumbling back from Snow Globe Village after having drunk a few too many Snow Globe goblets. Glug! Smash! When he saw a shining red glow coming from the middle of the stables, he opened the door to find a tiny little reindeer. He scooped him up in his arms, and as he turned around to look at him, he saw that he had a big red nose. Now this little reindeer was called Rudolph. They walked all the way back to Snow Globe Village and brought love and magic to everyone. And that is where I was made up.
wrote a letter to Santa. He decorated his letter with drawings and wrote down which toy he wanted. Dear Santa, a toy motorbike, please. I have been good. Love, Tom. The next day, Tom's grandpa agreed to take Tom to the post office, where they would buy a stamp, first class, so Tom's letter would arrive toot sweet at the North Pole sorting office. At 2, Tom and Grandpa set off for the post office. On the way, we should call in on Alice, Grandpa said. Alice lived end of terrace, and she was at the front before Grandpa and Tom had reached the garden path. Please, stay for tea? Alice asked. Alice had a Christmas tree. I've tried, but I can't get the star on the top. Tom had an idea, and with Grandpa's help, Tom put the star on the top of the tree. How pretty. Thank you. Another cup of tea? Alice asked. Now to post my letter? Tom asked Grandpa. Grandpa nodded, and Tom and Grandpa set off for the post office. On the way, we should call in on Hamish, Grandpa said. Tom buzzed the buzzer to number 4, and in a few short moments, Hamish was at the door. Happy Christmas to you. Please stay for a brew. Hamish had presents that needed wrapping. I've tried, but the tape and the paper keep tearing. Tom had an idea, and with Grandpa's help, Tom wrapped all the presents. Bows as well. Thank you, said Hamish. Now to post my letter? Tom asked Grandpa. Grandpa nodded, and Tom and Grandpa set off for the post office. The post office is around the corner, but right there lives Henrietta, said Grandpa. Tom pushed the bell, and Henrietta answered the door, but with flour in her hair, and flour was all over the floor. I'm having some trouble baking. Tom had an idea, and with Grandpa's help, Tom finished making all of Henrietta's homemade mince pies. What a surprise! The best batch yet, Henrietta said. Now to post my letter, Tom asked Grandpa. Grandpa nodded, and together Tom and Grandpa set off for the post office. But when they arrived, to Grandpa's surprise, the post office was closed. Grandpa checked his watch. 5:45. Oh dear, oh dear. How will my letter reach Santa?
I've got an idea,
Grandpa replied. And when Tom and Grandpa arrived back home, Grandpa placed Tom's letter on the Christmas tree.
Thank you.
Father Christmas could not find his boots. They were not by the stairs. They were not beside the front door. They were not in the reindeer stables. The sleigh was packed and ready, but Father Christmas still could not find his boots.
"What will you do without them?" Mrs. Claus asked him.
"I will have to wear only my socks," said Father Christmas, and he set off into the night, wearing on his feet only his socks. At the first house, Father Christmas arrived and he crept over, quiet as a mouse, over to the Christmas tree and put all the presents beneath it. At the second house, he tiptoed over and ate mince pies in one big bite. Hum. At the last house, Father Christmas arrived and he realized it was very cold and dark. There were no decorations and a tiny fire burnt in the fireplace. Father Christmas breathed magic into the fire and it came back to life, and it was very warm and cozy. He then realized his feet were very cold, so he took off his socks to warm up by the fire. Then he got to work. Father Christmas looked left. Father Christmas looked right. Father Christmas looked all around and around. But Father Christmas could not find a Christmas tree anywhere. "Where am I going to put all the presents?" he asked. Then he had an idea. "I should put the presents in my socks." And he did just that. He filled his socks full of presents, gave the fire a last stoke and tickle to keep it warm, and set off home. The next morning, Mrs. Claus came out to confront him.
"Why aren't you wearing any socks?" she asked.
"Ah, you had to be there," said Father Christmas. And that is the story of how the first Christmas stocking came to be.
The presents had been opened, the Christmas dinner eaten. The grown-ups were dozing, and Holly was feeling bored. Outside, it was snowing.
"You can play outside, but only if you wear your gloves and your hat and..."
Holly's uncle helped Holly into her coat, and she stepped outside into the falling snow. Holly made snowballs, snow castles, a snow unicorn, and a snowboat. But playing alone soon got lonely. Holly then noticed the neighbour's snowman. She had an idea. She began making snow feet, then snow legs, a snow body, and lastly, a snow head.
"Hello, snow friend," Holly said. She was almost certain that her snow friend winked. "Oh, but one last thing." Holly drew her snow friend a snow heart. it fitted his snowy chest just right. Suddenly, the snow friend's heart started beating. His eyes definitely started blinking. He moved his arms and legs. Woohoo! His snowy mouth said. Holly's snow friend began dancing, and together, Holly and her snow friend played games until Holly's uncle shouted out, "It's time to come in!" "Will you get lonely out here on your own?" Holly asked her snow friend. Holly's snow friend shook his snowy head. "Holly, you have given me a heart and called me a friend." With a leap and a woohoo, Holly's snow friend jumped over the garden fence and gave the neighbour's snowman a snow heart that also started beating in his snowy chest. "Holly, what are you up to?" Holly's uncle asked again. "Uncle, I've been making snow friends."